Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs with a head cold and a raspy voice today. Sorry about that. I'm sorrier than you are, though, I can tell you that much. Welcome to today's show on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We got a nice guest today. We've got a teacher from California in L.A. who teaches at middle school, T.S. King Middle School, and his name's Robert Ward. He just won the Smart Brief Editor's Choice Content Award for his post about that appeared on Edutopia, and it's all about using fictional characters to teach life lessons for your students. It's really good, and we're going to talk about that and other things that Robert does. He said, oh, I'm going to read his biography as he gets over here a little bit later, but he's an author. He's been teaching for a long time. Excuse me. And it's going to be a really enjoyable show if my voice ever comes back here. Okay. Which show we're going to archive over at education-talkradio.org. That's our website. I want to thank Smart Brief, all that great curated news, for all their selections that we have, and this one in particular for Robert. They check all the posts that are out there on the education blogs, pick two winners every month, and they come on the show. We're thrilled. We call it the E-Call Award, the Editor's Choice Content Award winner, ECCAW, and it's always a good time to have them on here. I want to remind everybody to go over to our magazine website, ace-ed.org. The new issue is actually posted up there, all right, and just came out this week, and it's just a wonderful issue, all about accessibility, compliance, and equity, all right, key things. I did a show earlier today with the National Teacher of the Year, and I said, what's going on with education? What's the biggest challenge? And she said equity. So there you go. What can I tell you? Her name was Mandy Manning. Also a West Coast girl, just like Bob is. So Bob's a West Coast guy. And without further ado, let me bring on Bob Ward. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you? Sorry about my cold. I sound terrible.
Oh, I hope you're getting through it and feeling better.
Oh, my God. Well, see, it was 92 degrees out here last week in Maine, and this week I woke up this morning, it was 39.
Oh, so there you go. Yeah. That change in weather will get you every time.
It will indeed. Tell us about all the books you've written. You're really pretty cool here, I got to tell you.
Well, this is my 26th year as a classroom teacher, as a middle school English teacher, and about 4 years ago, I've been a mentor teacher for many years, helping new teachers and veteran teachers along with their career and supporting them in providing excellent instruction. And I would hear from my mentees over and over again, you should write this down, Robert. You should write a book. And it happened so many times that I thought, okay, maybe I should start doing this. Well, it was a 10-year odyssey of writing notes, fits and starts of writing, you know, when I could over the summers after school. And finally, I was fortunate enough to submit a proposal to Roman and Littlefield Publishers.
Yep.
I worked with a great acquisitions editor over there, Sarah Jubar, and she actually liked my book so much that she thought, you know, Robert, you actually have three books here. You could write this book about teaching the whole child and then write a companion workbook. But as I had mentioned in my proposal to the publisher, I had said that, you know, my whole child approach also works for parents. And she thought that was a brilliant idea to have a book for parents written from a teacher's point of view, which became A Teacher's Inside Advice to Parents. That was my third book.
And that's your newest book, and I want to give you a kudo here because that book won an award of some sort on Amazon, didn't it?
That book has done very well, but actually my fourth book is Talent in Teachers, Successful Students, Empowered Parents, and that book has done very well on Amazon and gotten some great responses. And that, you know, all my books you could find on Amazon or any place you could buy books.
Robert Ward. And by the way, Ward is my wife's maiden name.
Oh, well, I'm in good company.
You go.
Thank you.
You are in good company. So is she. I'm understanding. That's great. I just want to go over the names of your book. And again, it's Roman and Littlefield is Bob's. Could you like Robert or Bob? I wasn't sure.
I go by Robert, but
okay,
anything is fine.
No, Robert. I'll call you Robert if that's what you like. You were 4F in the first book because you were you were the firm, fair, fascinating facilitator, right?
Exactly.
4F.
Yes,
right?
The 4F is my whole child approach to teaching. The social, emotional, soulful, and intellectual development of children.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thought and a wonderful way to go about it. It has a companion workbook to the teacher tune-up. And then his other books are A Teacher's Inside Advice to Parents, How Children Thrive with Leadership, Love, Laughter, and Learning. All right. And what's the fourth book? I just want to make sure people have it.
The fourth book is Talented Teachers, Empowered Parents, Successful Students. And that book is written expressly for teachers, classroom strategies to bring in
Lovely.
Whole families and make them allies in education. You know, the parent component is probably the next big frontier. I mean, we've been working on it.
It is the frontier.
I'm glad you agree with that. And, you know, and that's not to say that anything in education, nothing is really new, but sometimes things get pushed to the side or we've never really, really tackled the issue. And bringing in families as, you know, equal partners in education and valuing parents and ways teachers can do that where it's not an added thing on your plate. It actually makes your teaching easier and you create a wraparound effect from the classroom to the family room and, you know, the kids really respond because they're getting the same kind of consistent whole child attention that they really need and crave.
I love you saying that. And you teach it, I hope I have this right, at T.S. King Middle School in L.A., right?
Yes, Thomas Starr King, yes.
I've always been a public
middle school teacher in Los Angeles Unified School District.
Wow. Are you from L.A.? Are you from California?
I'm from L.A. I taught 21 years in South L.A., so I've taught in a variety of situations. Now I'm at a very high-performing school, so it's nice that I've had that broad career where I've been with students who had really tough challenges, whether it was poverty or gangs or violence in the streets, and then more affluent students or students that have had a lot more advantages.
Yeah, you've run the gamut, I got to tell you. And I was going to ask you, and you can go into a little more detail if you want, because a lot of people, when someone writes a book or gives them advice, they assume that it's not from a school like theirs with all the difficulties that may be at their particular school, so to speak. And I wanted you to describe what you started a minute ago. I loved it. Talk about what's T.S. King like.
Thomas Starr King is a school in East Hollywood in the Silver Lake area. That area has gone through a lot of gentrification because it used to be much more a neighborhood, you know, more like East Los Angeles, more Hispanic. There's a big Armenian population there. But my school now has transformed into three separate magnet schools. So there's a highly gifted magnet school, there's an environmental studies magnet, and then there's a film and media magnet where I teach. And it just became a California Gold Ribbon school. We're led by an amazing principal, Mark Knowles, and it's become a school that, you know, was probably a rough neighborhood school back in the day, and now it has waiting lists and people fight to get in.
Wow. Congratulations to you, the rest of the staff and faculty, and to Mr. Knowles, the principal. I think that's just wonderful. And to have a film and media school in East Hollywood is really fun, I would imagine.
Oh, well, because, you know, we have the connections to the studios.
Sure.
And, you know, Larry, oftentimes magnet schools in middle school are it's just name only. It's, you know, just kind of a marketing ploy. But my school, really, the way our gifted technology magnet works, the way the environmental studies and the film and media, I mean, my students are making movies, critiquing movies, you know, really getting a good background in film and media, which is amazing because it brings that engagement factor in, the teams of teachers, the social studies teacher, the math teacher, the science, the English teacher, all work
Wonderful.
Together on, big, culminating projects
Sure.
and films and events. So it's great. It really keeps the kids interested and engaged with school.
And are the kids coming from all over the city?
They're coming all over the city, but because our school is a total magnet, all the
Yes.
the home kids, meaning the kids in the area that would have gone to that school in the past, they get in no matter what.
Ah, so it's a neighborhood school plus a magnet, kind of, if I may.
Exactly.
What a nice treat for everybody. That's a win-win situation, I have to tell you. And I want to move over because you won the terrific award from Smart Brief, everybody, smartbrief.com/education. You'll see everything over there. Okay, great curated news, et cetera. And they follow the bloggers in education. And you, congratulations, my friend Robert Ward. You were a winner. Your Edutopia blog from August 8th, or post, I should say, Life Lessons from Fictional Characters, and it's under the category Social and Emotional Learning. And I'll just do the subhead here. Writing dialogues between themselves and literary characters can enhance students' empathy and ability to deal with hardships. And I read the post, and Robert, I'm going to let you just go into it, okay, because I think it was really, really interesting, and I'd love to hear some of the things that you've learned from having your kids interact with, quote, fictional characters. And just to give you an idea, let me scroll down here for a second because I know where it is. You've used a variety of books, okay, as most of them we know, The Outsiders, House of the Scorpion, the whole Harry Potter series, A Wrinkle in Time, The Fault in Our Stars, plus many, many others. But, there's a million characters in there, to coin a phrase, okay? So talk about the relationship between your students, the characters, and what you've learned from it, and why other teachers should do this.
Thank you, Larry. This award was a total surprise and such an honor, and I more so an honor because I'm an avid Smart Brief reader. If educators don't know about Smart Brief, you need to make that your go-to source for daily information about education because they do the curating for you. So it's a way that you can find, runs the gamut of educational issues and subject areas and a great way to find articles. So I am so appreciative to Smart Brief. This is my 8th article for Edutopia, and I have to give a shout-out to them, my editor there,
sure.
Tom Berger, and the staff at Edutopia. Edutopia is another go-to resource for educators that is just fantastic. So,
Couldn't agree more on both counts.
Thank you, yeah. And so this latest article that I wrote, Life Lessons from Fictional Characters, came about because I was watching a 60 Minutes episode last season, and the correspondent Oprah Winfrey was doing an episode about kids experiencing trauma and how that trauma affects their life, mostly in negative ways. So Oprah Winfrey was talking about the approach of when a kid is acting out and acting out in a negative way, whether it's at home or school or on the streets, not approaching them from the position of, oh my gosh, what have you done now? Because usually it's repeated negative behavior, but mm-hmm. approaching it from what happened to you? What's going on that you're upset that you're acting out? And Oprah Winfrey talked about how it completely transformed her way of thinking and trying to be supportive to people who are hurting and acting out. And it really resonated with me. But I'm, as important as social emotional learning is in the classroom, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a trained counselor, so what could I do as a middle school English teacher to help kids through that? And I suddenly it dawned on me, of course, the kids can talk to the characters in the books that they're reading. the amazing thing about young adult literature, Larry, is that it often deals with some very deep, dark issues. Young adult literature is not kid stuff in a lot of ways. The characters quite often are orphans. So why would so many young adult authors make their main character an orphan? Here's this child who has almost no support system and goes through these traumatic events, and yet they always come out the other side. And what does that teach kids? That, you know, this kid who's in this extraordinary circumstance was able to triumph over adversity, so maybe I can. Maybe I am fortunate enough not to have such adversity in my life, or maybe I have different aspects of adversity, but if this character that I lived this journey with, this fascinating journey, maybe I can be like them and find perseverance and find resilience. So that really inspired me to write this system where instead of just a standard book report or an essay, my students could act like what I call character therapists and write a dialogue between themselves and the character. And the article outlines a four-step process to do so.
What did you find? And I want to ask two questions on that regard. When you, and of course, don't say anything personal to anybody or mention any names, but what did you find from kids who were, in fact, having some difficulties in acting out? But the other side is, what did you learn about your students from the kids who were just, quote, if they were, doing the assignment, things that came out that surprised you?
Well, see, this is the beauty of it. Of course, and I say this in the article, of course, kids are, some kids are going to self-disclose when they're talking to a character who has gone through some kind of trauma, and that child may have gone through something similar. There are some kids who are going to feel comfortable enough to self-disclose in that dialogue, and there are ways that teachers can be sensitive and point those kids to resources and get them the help they need. But sometimes, Larry, it's just the process of talking somebody else. Now, of course, it's a fictional character, but but for all intents and purposes, they're treating them as a real person who's gone through these very relatable events. And so whether or not a kid has personally undergone or is undergoing some kind of adversity or trauma in their life, it still is a really important way of offering support to others. And when we're helping others and getting outside of ourselves, that's such a healing process. It's either healing because we're hurting inside, or it's healing because, hey, I did something good for somebody else. There's no way that doesn't make me feel good or make me feel important or special or integral in helping other people out. So whether it's a kid who's hurting or it's a kid who's just learning how to help somebody else and give them support, I think it's beneficial for all the students.
I would agree with you. And I have you obviously, and you said this, you're not a therapist, okay? You are an English language. You're an ELA teacher, okay? And a damn good one, and an author, right? You're not alone when a kid is acting out, as you well know. You have the other teachers who that child has, and you also have the school counselor, the guidance counselor. And I'm curious, as you help a child see themselves, and as you see them through different eyes, if I may, as they write, okay, do you work with the guidance counselors at all, or how do you share if you can, if you're allowed to, how do you share that information so that kid doesn't go to history class and get nailed because he's still mad at something that happened at home?
Right. Well, you know, this is huge. So I mean, you do want to maintain confidentiality with children.
Right.
You know, you're not going to build trust if there isn't confidentiality. That being said, teachers who are going to have students do any kind of personal writing or conversations in class, teachers, it's incumbent on the teachers to say, listen, everything you say to me is in strict confidence, but there are a couple of things that are really serious that, if you disclose to me, I must report. So, you know, whether it's any kind of abuse, whether it's any
right.
kind of drug use or, you know, underage sexual activity, even if it's consensual, those things you need to tell kids. I need to tell you, those are special circumstances where we've set up a system to protect kids. So it's not that we're, you know, we're breaking confidentiality. It's that when we hear those, that is something that we have decided is so important that somebody else needs to be told so we can get you the help and support you need.
Right.
And when you're upfront with kids like that, and listen, you have to do this, you know, with the kids you're teaching, you know, in a developmentally appropriate way, having these conversations. But once you do that, kids are more trusting, but a lot of, you know, if it's not something that is going on right now that is a mandated reporting event, what it really is just kids getting, you know, talking it out and getting it off their chest and finding ways to, you know, move past that trauma. You know, there's a lot of articles now, a lot of articles on Edutopia about trauma-sensitive teaching and how, you know, that's another frontier in, you know, our quest for social-emotional learning that we've got to get to the root of why some kids are acting out. And it's not just acting out, Larry, it's also withdrawing, because we know that, you know,
acting in,
teen depression, suicide rates are off the charts. And it's really, when you read the literature and you read the research, it's not so much depression, it's really anxiety. We have a lot of anxious kids, and kids even going through college, kids leaving the home and not being able to cope on their own. And part of it is our fault as adults, as educators and parents, and part of it is the world we live in. But we've got to start addressing those issues, because we have a lot of unhappy kids. And if you want to talk about it just in an educational way, you know, the unhappy, hurting kids don't learn.
Wait, that could be the title of your next book. Right?
Right.
Right.
Wow. It's true. It's
unhappy kids don't learn. It's that simple, you know? Wow. Just amazing. You said you've been teaching for 25 years, right?
This is my 26th year.
Congratulations on that. And if you looked at the changes, and of course you've changed over the course of time, but if you look at the changes, okay, and the kids, what is it that, Robert, that makes you the happiest kids from then to now, and also what scares you the most about kids from then to now, scares you for the kids' sake?
Well, I think what makes me happiest is that if you can approach a kid in a whole child approach, if you can work on developing a kid's self-awareness and self-regulation, that's, you know, and their interpersonal skills, if you can also work on their self-confidence, building trust, building relationship, belonging, if you can develop a kid's self-expression, so helping them see that school is all about meaning and curiosity and creativity, inspiration, adventure, exploration, all those aspirational engagement things, then they're really hooked in. And besides all that, Larry, you just have to be a darn good teacher. You've got to be able to be an instructor and give direct instruction and then pull back and be more of a facilitator, because kids need both of those things. You need to be able to differentiate instruction. You need to be able to scaffold and give kids strategies. And once you have that cohesive structure in a classroom, you know, of course there's always exceptions, and of course we're playing the long game, because sometimes as teachers we know we're just planting seeds. Sometimes
sure.
you're not going to see any results, but that doesn't mean that you're not fighting the good fight, and that every seed you're planting might come to fruition later on and you're not going to get the privilege to see that. But after 26 years, I've had plenty of kids come back. Kids who I was really worried about, like, oh, they're going to have a tough road ahead. And Larry, they're superstars. They have just seized life, and they have taken life, you know, taken control of their lives and done really, really well. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, I've seen kids who I thought had the world on a string and were going to do great. And they got pregnant at 15 and, you know, things spiraled out of control. So, you never know, but you always want to keep out that hope. And when we approach kids in a way where they feel safe and valued and stimulated, by and large, they're going to come around. And that's what makes me the happiest, is that when I get a new bunch of kids, I think, you know what? You wait. I'm going to win you over. You're resistant, but I'm going to win you over. And with experience, it comes quicker now, and the class starts to work as a community. So that's the amazing, always happy part. It's a lot of work, but it's really gratifying. The distressing part probably is that, you know, what we talked about. There's a lot of kids hurting now, and whether we're talking about trauma-informed teaching, whether we're talking about social-emotional learning, whether we're talking about school shootings and suicide and all that horrific stuff, what we're really talking about is we don't just want kids to be safe and secure. Those are important, but Larry, what we really want is kids to be strong. And when we build strong kids, emotionally strong, inspirationally strong, aspirationally strong, strong with skills, intellectually strong, then we don't have to worry about those kids. Then they have that self-reliance and that perseverance and that resiliency that they're going to be okay, that it's all right for them to experience some difficulties, and it's okay that they experience, you know, some drama with their peers. That's how we learn. And I think sometimes we're coddling kids and we're protecting kids a little too much, and we're not making them strong.
Robert, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Okay. I had my phone on mute for a second while you were talking. Okay, my mic on mute for a second while you were talking. You really have a wonderful philosophy about this. And I have one last question. How many teachers are at T.S. King?
What do we have?
I don't know, 50? 100? I don't know.
We've got a big population. We've got upwards of 3,000 kids on our campus. So
wow.
Maybe we have, I don't know, I'm going to get so in trouble for not knowing this.
That's
I don't
okay.
know if we have, like, what, maybe, like, 60 teachers? I'm not sure.
Good
you know,
enough.
But
well, let's just say there's 100
all
teachers.
I know
just
is we should have
it.
More because class sizes are way too high.
Well, that's a good point right there. But the other thing I wanted to ask, and just as we wind down here, you know, we're talking to a national audience here. It's a pretty good-sized audience, et cetera. Okay, your Edutopia post reaches a hell of a lot of people as well. Okay, and your books, et cetera, et cetera. And I always like to ask this, you know, are the folks around you, because you're really an expert, you really care, you're really a good educator, all right? Are they listening? Are you able to talk to your good colleagues in the building and get them to understand?
Larry, whether it's on campus or it's now in this social media world,
mm-hmm.
I am so heartened by the way educators are really connecting with each other.
Yes.
The way they're building their PLNs, their personal learning networks. I have an amazing personal learning network on Twitter, and if anybody's listening and you want to join the club and join our personal learning network, this is a group of amazing, passionate educators, from novice teachers to experienced teachers to retired teachers, who will welcome you with open arms, will want to hear your great ideas, because we need to hear from our newer teachers, and also support the teachers. It's just been an amazing experience, and I wish I had gotten involved sooner. The only reason I got involved was because I had books to market, and little did I know that besides the marketing, I was going to grow as an educator and grow as a person. I've made personal friends literally all over the world. I am so heartened by the way teachers are taking back education, taking back the educational conversation away from the textbook companies, away from the testing conglomerates, away from the bureaucracy, and really talking about some important things, and having, these Edutopia now has a monthly Twitter chat. There are a million different Twitter chats. I wrote an Edutopia article about Twitter chats. There are ways that people can connect way beyond their school site.
You're a good man, Robert Ward. I got to tell you,
oh,
I really
Larry,
care.
This has been a great interview, and I really love talking to you, and the questions were just spot on. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. And I have to tell you, you just stay in touch. Anytime you want to come on, you get in touch with me, and we'll set up a show. Robert, you're always invited.
That's a great honor. I really appreciate that.
And another honor, again, congrats on winning that Smart Brief Award.
Great. Thank you, Larry. Thank you for a great show. And you sound better already.
I was trying to clear myself up as we were talking, and thank you. I do feel better,
than
I did at the beginning. It's just, I hate head colds. What can I tell you? I just hate
exactly.
Them. Who likes them? They're not. Nobody's a fan of head colds. Okay.
No.
Thank you, Robert. This was great.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay,
I appreciate
you take
it.
Take care. Have a good day.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Robert Ward, everybody. And Robert, I just want to give you some more information here. Okay. He tweets at RewardingEDU, @RewardingEDU, and his website is rewardingeducation.wordpress.com. And he's written those books, again, Robert Ward, over at Roman and Littlefield. And you can check out all the books he's written and the posts on Edutopia, etc. He's a good guy and a damn good teacher. And Smart Brief, once again, thank you so much. And Robert's right. For the best curated news, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Smartbrief.com, just check education. They have a zillion, all right, whatever. They have 30 or so different newsletters focusing on different education topics. Check it out. And we've got our magazine, Accessibility, Compliance, Equity, ace-ed.org. The new issue is now up there. Everybody, thanks for listening. My name's Larry Jacobs. Hopefully this cold will go away. Everybody take care. Have a good day. Thank you.